In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit down. Don't we all like a good song? I did a little bit of research amongst you this morning, and I discovered amongst popular songs, there's someone here who said when asked their favourite was Climb Every Mountain from The Sound of Music. We have someone else who enjoys Songbird by Fleetwood Mac, and I'm a bit of a fan of that great soul singer, Marvin Gaye, and I love his Can I Get a Witness? I also discovered that in the church here this morning, we have people who really value Shine, Jesus, Shine, The Lord is My Shepherd, How Great Thou Art, and Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Singing is a great thing we can do together. We know songs work in a whole range of different ways. One of the most, if you like, intriguing examples was some 40 years ago. Those of us who remember the television program Porridge, there was an occasion where two of the prisoners had escaped, and when the lights were turned out, all the prisoners in their cells struck up, and no doubt the prisoners' favourite song, Nymphs and Shepherds Gone Away, Gone Away. Now that was just one example, but there are songs of protest, songs of celebration, particularly that we think this time of year, all the songs we hear in the shops, in the supermarkets, and all the many wonderful carols, hymns, worship songs, both old and new, that we enjoy here in church. Now, I say all that because I'm grateful to the American writer David Losey for pointing out the interesting fact that it is St. Luke that we find in the early part of his gospel quite so many songs. There's one from Zechariah, one from Simeon, there's the heavenly host praising God, and as we have just heard read this morning, there is Mary, the mother of our Lord, herself. All these songs, you might think, well, what are they there for, apart from being another form of expression? But I don't know about you, there are times when I come to church and there's something very touching, moving and uplifting to be amongst a group of people singing, praising God, acknowledging some aspect of the human condition, offering ourselves to God and receiving from him. Went to church one occasion when two members of the congregation had died, and I noticed that at the end of the service, the person taking the service, just, if you like, say something really important about the life of the church and the life of the two people who'd been faithful worshippers there, changed the last hymn to Thine Be the Glory. And boy, did people sing it. So singing hymns, songs are an important part of what it means to be a Christian. They express, as I say, so many aspects of our faith. They're powerful. At times they can, when we find aspects in our world and in our life difficult and tense-making, maybe coming to sing with other people is good for us in a whole range of ways. My other hunch about us Anglicans is that very often it's what we sing that says something about what we really believe. So if, for example, we think, you know, the Lord is my shepherd, that reminds us that God is a constant and reassuring presence throughout our lives and beyond. If we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine, we lift our hearts to Christ and pray and sing earnestly that his glorious and inextinguishable light will shine in your and my heart and in the dark places in our troubled world. One of the intriguing things, though, about what Mary sings is you notice that we have two tenses. We have the present tense and we have the past tense. So she isn't, as it were, just naming the promises that God will deliver. She's also entering into them. So if we like, she recognises what God has already done. The God of Israel, who's been siding with the oppressed since the time of captivity in Egypt, has been making and keeping his promises even before that, at the time of Abraham and those who came after him. So I think it doesn't just mean, oh, God's done all that. what it actually is implying to us, that we are now joining in and are part of everything that God has done and everything that he stands for. Freedom, mercy, justice, forgiveness, kindness, and compassion. So in the same way that we identify with one another when we sing our worship songs and our hymns here in church, what we sing identifies in a range of ways with God and his saving work as well. So at this time of year, and you have to forgive me if I've got this wrong, there's a chance that in your church here, you sometime recently you have sung, O Come Emmanuel, which draws us not only into the yearning for Christ to come again into our world in his glory and his majesty, but also draws us into the story of people yearning as they have been for centuries and centuries for God's ways to be known all the more in their lives and across the world. So as we sing, O Little Town of Bethlehem, whenever that is, we can feel the hopes and fears of all the years that come and are focused in the helpless child in the manger. And as we've sung this morning, in Joy to the World, we can create in us the very joy we long for and wonder, where is it? When we sing it, we connect with it, and somehow I reckon it becomes more real and more rooted within us. So singing doesn't simply just identify us with one another. It doesn't simply articulate certain important things about God, Christ, and the work of the Spirit. It draws us beyond ourselves into God himself. God has always promised and is always able to change lives, situations, and the world. And my thought for us this morning is that as we sing these promises, we ourselves are entering into that work, becoming his agents in the world, be it here in Ducklington, in Whitney, in our homes, the places we spend our time, on the land, schools, shops, offices, factories. We go out as agents of God's world to be, as Christ reminds us, to be his salt and his light, forwarding his kingdom. Now, I haven't got a good singing voice. My family don't really like it when I sing in the shower. But some of us, I don't think that matters. We can all sing together, whether we've got a strong voice or not such a strong voice. For as we sing, we are rooting ourselves with thousands of people down the ages who have sung to God, from Miriam after the defeat of the Egyptians, to Mary and Zechariah and Simeon and the heavenly host, to Jesus and his disciples before the going across to the Garden of Gethsemane and everything. We are joining a great and wonderful company of people that stretches right across the centuries, raising our voices in hope and expectation, in joy and in praise, in supplication and thanksgiving, in the belief that God will come to us time and time again, and even as we gather in all sorts of ways, but as I say, particularly today, through our singing to God's glory, in his name, in this place. Thanks be to God. Amen.